Tonight. We're not going to talk about the parasha. I'm actually planning to do a little bit of tashlumin. I was scheduled to speak Wednesday night at the Yom Ha'atzmaut Mesiba, and at the last moment a family situation arose that I wasn't able to be here. So I figured I'll take the opportunity tonight. Let's talk a little bit about what I wanted to talk about on Wednesday night. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'll try it anyway.
Are you allowed to record?
I'm recording.
We'll see.
You can record it for private use. When you think of Yom Ha'atzmaut, what do you think of? So I think that For different people, different things come to mind. Some people, it might be saying Hallel. For other people, it might be dancing at a Chagiga. For others, it's barbecuing. Or wrapping yourself in an Israeli flag and wearing a cape. Or painting Magen Davids on your cheeks. Everybody has a different association. One of the things that I think of when Yom Ha'atzmaut comes along is this photograph. Now I know that you can't really see what's on this picture, but I'll describe it. There are a number of people in the photograph, but one person in particular who's posing for the picture. It's an old photograph, black and white. It looks old. And you can notice that the person who's posing for the picture is standing in front of the kotel. If you were to look closely at the person, I don't think you would recognize him. But what's interesting is if you turned it around and you're at the back of the picture, some of you might actually recognize the name. The name says Rav Eliezer Lerner. But this is not me. Because the date on the back says Kotel HaMaravi, 1924-1925. And despite my gray beard, or as Alex has it in the Purim beard, or a white beard, I am not that old. This is a picture of my grandfather, after whom I'm named. What was my grandfather doing at the Kotel, 1924-1925? My grandparents lived in Poland. At the time, they had one child, my father, was the oldest. They were living, I'm not sure, either in the city of Austria, where my father was born, or the... Later, they moved to a city called Rubishayev. So what was my grandfather doing in front of the Kotel? In essence, he was taking a pilot trip. My grandfather was a big Tzioni. A Mizrachist, or Mizrachinik, as he used to call him in those days. And he really, really wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. So he came to Eretz Yisrael to see if he could work it out and bring over a small family at the time to Eretz Yisrael. But life was very, very difficult. Extremely difficult. People literally didn't have food to eat. Children were dying of starvation. Despite my grandfather's best intentions, he realized that he just wouldn't be able to make it in Eretz Yisrael. And he went back to Poland. And sometime afterwards, decided that staying in Europe wasn't really an option either. So he went to the United States. But then my father had a younger sister. He went by himself. Spent the way the story I was told was spent 2 years making enough money, getting slightly established, wasn't so much money, so they can finally afford to bring over my grandmother, my father, and my aunt. And he arrived in the United States in the Golden Medina in 1928, just in time for the Great Depression of 1929, and everything, and all the financial difficulties that that brought, but that's a different story. And that's where my father grew up. 70 years after my grandfather's picture in front of the Kotel, his grandson, after whom the name, namesake, that's me, came in Aliyat Eretz Yisrael. And I'm still here. So what changed in the 70 years? What happened between 1924 and 1994? In my mind, one of the key events that happened between 1924 and 1994 that made the difference is 1948. Because had there not been a Yom HaTzmaut, I'm not so sure that I would be here. I don't know if I could be one of those real pioneers who moved to Eretz Yisrael before it was under Jewish control. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. So that's one of the things that I think about in Yom HaTzmaut. It's the picture of my grandfather, who only made it here for a pilot trip, and his grandson, who was able to come and live here. But why am I so grateful? Why am I so grateful to be living here? Gemara Masechet Sota, some of you in Hilchos Brachos learned it recently. It says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to come to Eretz Yisrael? Kilecho mipiria v'lisboa mituva, because he heard that Jaffa oranges are great and caramel tomatoes are really juicy. It's true. In many ways, I think the fruits and vegetables are much tastier than they are in the United States. They look better in the United States, but like everything else in many things in the United States, it's all a facade. It's all just in the appearance. But that's not why I came. So Chazal tells us Moshe Rabbeinu came because he wanted to be mekayim the mitzvos hatluyos baretz. To be very honest with you, that wasn't my prime motivation. So what brought me here? It's a little embarrassing, but I'll share with you. Part, not totally, part of what got me here, what drew me to come, is that I try to take my davening seriously. And when we daven that Mashiach should come. Tzemach David Avdecha Meher Tatzmiach. Daven all the time. So we want to take it seriously. So we want Mashiach to come? Of course we want Mashiach. When do we want Mashiach to come? Right away. So what's the embarrassing part? I was living in Brooklyn. I owned a house, not a big house, but I owned a house. I had a nice job. My kids were settled in school. And davening Mashiach should come. And then the rest of them were all going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So I start thinking, okay, have to sell my house? Do you know what the property values are going to be like in Brooklyn with all the Jews selling the house at once? I'm not going to get anything for my house. I don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael. The property values are going to skyrocket. All the Jews are coming. I won't be able to afford it. And I'm going to have to give up a job and then quickly go find a job and try to get my kids settled in school and then... So of course I wanted Mashiach to come. And I know, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can work everything out. But there was a little bit of annoying feeling like, how's it all going to work out? What's going to be? Tell a story about the simple Jew who lives in a shtetl somewhere. And somebody comes to him and starts talking to him about wanting to move to Eretz Yisrael and Mashiach coming, and he's all excited. So he says, are you ready to go? He says, I have to go ask my wife. So he goes, asks his wife. He comes back and he says, listen, we raise geese. Can the geese also come? He says, no, it's just for people. Geese are going to have to stay. So I have to go ask my wife. Comes back, he asks his wife, comes back, he says, we can't survive without the geese. So the person says to him, don't you understand if you stay here living in Poland and Russia, he says, the Cossacks are going to come and they're going to take away all your geese anyway. So might as well leave the geese and come to Eretz Yisrael. He says, I have to go ask my wife. So he goes, he says, his wife comes back and says, my wife says, so take the Cossacks to Eretz Yisrael and leave us here with the geese. I felt a little bit foolish, like this person. Like, what's going to be with my geese? I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be the person who's davening for Mashiach, but somehow or another, a little bit, I'm holding back. That in my mind, Mashiach should come at a convenient time. It's a lousy way to daven. So that wasn't the only motivation, but that was one of the main motivations. He said, I want to be able to daven. To daven properly. So I wish Mashiach would have come first, but he didn't. But I can tell you now, when I daven, I want Mashiach to come. Mashiach can come right now. I don't have to sell my house. I have to look for a new house. Hashem having a wonderful job. Kids are settled. We are in hurry. So I can daven with 100% kavana. Not 99% kavana. But 100%. They tell a story that when Yashu Ber Soloveitchik, Rav's great-grandfather, to whom he is named, was offered the position of being Rav and Brisk, he turned them down. Delegation to the city of Brisk came to Rabbi Yoshua Ber, the Beis Halevi, and they said, please, turn them down. We want to become Rav in the city of Brisk. So another delegation came back, talking a little bit more forcefully, and they said to him, Rabbi, this is, I didn't know the exact number, 20,000 Yidden, 20,000 Jews are waiting for you. How can you keep 20,000 Jews waiting? The Beis Halevi said, you're right. And he went and became the Rav of the city of Brisk. A while later, allegedly, the story goes, they told the story over to the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim started to cry. What are you crying for? Rabbeinu. He said, because the Beis Halevi is a Baal HaRachamim, and he couldn't keep 20,000 Jews waiting. Do you think that Melech HaMashiach is any less of a Baal HaRachamim? He has at least as much Rachmanus on Bnei Yisrael as the Beis Halevi. So how come he's not here? Must be, says the Chafetz Chaim, that there aren't 20,000 Jews who are really waiting for Mashiach to come. That's why he was crying. Don't know if the story is true. When I think about my own predicament, I wonder sometimes. Before I came, was I one of those 20,000? Or maybe not. And I wanted to be one of those 20,000. I hope that now I am. What's also embarrassing not realizing. Other reasons why I should have always desired to move to Eretz Yisrael. I can't say I'm like Moshe Rabbeinu, sense that I wanted to be Mekayim Mitzvos HaTluyos Ba'aretz, that I'd have a clementine tree in my front yard, and I'll be able to actually be mafresh Trumas and Isis with the bracha. To be Mekayim Shemit in my little patch of grass in my backyard. But what I didn't realize, and I don't know why, I didn't realize how much Ruchnius really, really exists here in Eretz Yisrael. I lived in the United States, in the holy city of Brooklyn, in a very Choshev neighborhood known as Flatbush. I actually grew up in the Choshev neighborhood of Borough Park, you may have heard of it. And I celebrated Shabbos, commemorated Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos my whole life. But Shabbos in Brooklyn, it's just not like Shabbos in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Ramat Beit Shemesh, the whole Avira is Shabbos. From the moment Shabbos comes in until Shabbos comes out, you have a sense that it's Shabbos. It's not just Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah night, all the shuls seem to get out there at the same time, Rosh Hashanah night. Just see everybody come home from shul together. And Yom Kippur, in a 5-minute walk from my house to the shul for Kol Nidre, just to have this sense in the street Yom Kippur is approaching. Those of you here for Pesach, the whole country is Pesach. Not only in the supermarkets, 3 weeks beforehand. Purim, you remember what Purim is like? There's nothing like being in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, for the Moadim. Just at Yom HaTzmaut. Soon, next week, like Ba'omer, Ramesh seen Neis Nigla, that the whole country doesn't burn down with the bonfires that are unbelievable. Every year is a Neis. I think we should be saying Hallelujah like Ba'omer. The day after, like Ba'omer. Everything's still steep. There's just nothing like that. And it's not only Yom Tov. I have a sense that the davening is different here. The learning is different. The whole ruchnius, the sense of growth, of people working on themselves. And I'm not here to knock everybody and everything in chutzlaret. But in terms of quantity and quality, I just didn't see there what I see here. And for some reason, I didn't realize it ahead of time. But I so much appreciate it now. I can't. For you, it's still living in Chutz La'aretz, but it's hard. But for me, the idea of living in Chutz La'aretz at this stage, I can never see myself doing that. And I lived most of my life in Chutz La'aretz. I'm still not at the halfway mark here in Eretz Yisrael. But I just can't see being there. So I'm very grateful. And as I said, if there hadn't been the 1948, then I don't know if there would have been for me in 1994 when I moved here to Eretz Yisrael. But I also realize that as much because we need to be thankful for this great gift. We need to express our thanks. One can express one's thanks in many different ways. You have to realize that the gift is only a partial gift so far. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us a tremendous amount. But there's a tremendous amount that's missing. Why did Hashem allow us, this generation, this past generation, to be able to return to Eretz Yisrael, the past few generations? What does he want of us? What does he expect of us? What should we be expecting of ourselves? Modern Rabbanan, that one recites when Chazaras Hashatz, when the Chazan reaches Modin, say, Hoda, it's Modin. We thank Hashem al Shehechi Yasanu Vikiamtanu. And then we ask, Kain Tchayenu Uskaimenu, V'se'asof Galu Yoseinu L'chatzros Kachacha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to gather in the exiles to the courtyards, to your holy courtyards. That's here. Why? Lishmor chukecha v'la'asos v'tzonecha v'la'avdecha v'leiv avshon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathered us here. He's allowing us to dwell in his palace. But he expects things of us. It's supposed to be a mamlechas kon in begod kadosh. We need to be deserving of this gift. And if I want to live in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's palace, that must mean that I want to have a close relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And if I want to have a close relationship with Ribono Shel Olam, it doesn't happen automatically. I need to work on my Avodas Hashem. On my Lishmor Chukecho V'Lasu Tzonecho La'avdecho B'Leiv Avshalem. And I should want that's true of everybody. Of myself, of my neighbors. Close neighbors, the entire population. And some of us, some of you, may be capable of influencing everybody, or many people, or others. But we're all capable of influencing ourselves. So if I want to be here, I have to be not only grateful for this gift, but I have to be deserving of this gift. I don't fool myself. I don't think that my merits and my zuchuyos are any greater than my grandfather's zichrono levracha. I don't think they're nearly as close as my grandfather's. But it's bezchut of those generations that we're here. So what legacy will we leave for the next generation? For our children and our grandchildren. What zchuyot will we have that can continue meriting this gift and building on it so that this partial gift becomes a complete gift? Yom HaTzmaut, take time to express our thanks. Day after Yom HaTzmaut, we have to ask ourselves, what is the next step? What am I going to do to build on this and grow from it? So we turn to Hashem It doesn't have to be only on Yom Ha'atzmaut, and it shouldn't only be on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Every single day. And we thank Hashem al shehachiyasan v'kiyamtanu for the past. And then the tefillah for the future. Kein tchayenu skaymenu sasav goliyosenu l'chatzos kachecha lishmo chukecha v'lasos v'tzonecha l'abdecha b'leiv avshalem. And ending off our expression of gratitude. Al shanachnu modim lach baruch keel hodah.